The shepherds went out, glorifying and praising God. They said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Suddenly, what had been a calm, still night became a night of joyful celebration.
Song the earth. originally were planning this service, I thought I was going to get out of doing any preaching. But Mike Rand, who gets the credit for putting this together, said, well, we ought to have something about the true meaning of the season. And I think he's right. So I've got a few words here. After some meditation, you know, we as Christians complain a lot about the changing of the Christmas story to a story of materialism and capitalism, and how much of that has overrun the story of the coming of the Savior. And I know there are a lot of people in our society who are wondering, you know, what's up, Christians? What about Christmas? We're in the middle of a pandemic. Thousands upon thousands of families have lost loved ones. What is your Jesus bringing to the table? You know, what are you celebrating? I thought it'd be nice to share what John the Baptist found out when he asked Jesus, Jesus, what do you bring to the table? It's from Matthew 11. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? And Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Now fast forward. How can we Christians represent this Christ, this Christmas, to our communities, to our society? I want to tell you how a church down in Houston did it. A little background. The pastor of this Houston church had been very persistent with one of the people who was in his congregation who had suffered with alcoholism and claimed victory over alcohol after several years in AA. The pastor had helped him through some of the difficult times. He became an elder in that church, quite proud that Christ had helped him through a difficult time. Well, he called the pastor one day and he said, hey, I've heard about this man. He's not a Christian, but he's suffering, and I think we ought to go visit him and see if we can bring some of that ministry of Christ into his life. The man that they were visiting, his name was Jack. Jack had been a president and CEO of a large corporation. And he got cancer, and he got the kind of cancer that required a lot of different therapies. He couldn't work anymore, and those therapies are expensive. He went through all of his insurance, used up his life savings. He had practically nothing left. When the pastor and the elder visited him, the pastor said this. He said, Jack, you speak so openly about the brief life you have left. I wonder if you're prepared for your life after death. Jack was very weak, but he stood up and he was livid. He turned red with rage. He said, you blankety blank Christians, all you ever think about is what's going to happen to me after I die. If your God is so great, why doesn't your God do something about the real problems I'm having in my life? He went on to say that he was leaving his wife penniless. He's leaving his daughter without money for college. Then he said, "Get out of my house. You're bringing nothing into my life. Get away." The pastor was put off. He didn't want to go back. But the elder said, "You didn't give up on me, Pastor. Let's not give up on Jack." So they went back. Pastor said, "Jack, I know I offended you. I humbly apologize. But I want you to know that I've been working since then, and we have some results to report. Your first problem is where your family will live after you die. A realtor in our church has agreed to sell your house and give your wife his commission. I guarantee that if you will permit us, some other men and I will make the house payments until it's sold. Then I've contacted the owner of an apartment house down the street. He's offered your wife a 3-bedroom apartment plus free utilities and an $850 a month salary in return for collecting rents and supervising plumbing and electrical repairs. The income from your house should pay for your daughter's college, and I just want you to know your family will be cared for." Jack cried like a baby. He died shortly thereafter, so wrapped up in pain that he never accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. But that's not because he hadn't experienced God's love while he was still alive. And even though he rejected Christ, his widow, who was touched by the extent to which these caring Christians went to help her and her family, she responded to the gospel message, and she and her daughter became prominent members of this Houston church. It's not a full, complete, happy ending like we like to expect. But when you come to Jesus and you say, "What do you bring to the table, Jesus?" like John said, Jesus says, "Look. Look at what my church members do. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who are sick are led to healing, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." Amen.
While the joyful celebration continued, Mary and Joseph were once again left alone with their baby. Mary pondered all these things in her heart. She peered into her baby's eyes and was amazed at how God had blessed her. She thought of the future, how she would raise this child in what could be a very dangerous world. Though there would be challenges, still she trusted God for the future. As she watched him sleep just for this moment, in this place, all the world seemed right.
Meanwhile, the celebration continued as the angels and shepherds continued glorifying and praising God. And all who heard it were amazed at what they were told about the birth of the Christ child.
On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, the child was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with the law of the Lord. The prayers of the people had been answered. The Messiah had arrived.
As we celebrate Christmas, we sometimes wonder which is more important, Christ's birth or his death upon the cross. There is no answer. He came to the world to live, to die, to rise again, and to be with us forever through the Holy Spirit. And we are eternally thankful as we celebrate his wonderful gifts of saving grace.
Oh, Although there will be times of suffering and pain, the miracle of Jesus' birth reminds us that we are not alone in this world. We may live in joy and celebration. We can constantly rejoice in the knowledge that, through the Christ child, God has come to earth and his Spirit lives among us today. Merry Christmas.
Now may the Lord bless you, may the Lord keep you, and may the Christ child be born in your heart, and you walk evermore hand in hand with him, both now and forever. Amen.
As you're going.